You are listening to WXRWLP Milwaukee 104.1 FM and RiverWestRadio.com globally, as well as CreamCityMedia.com/anti. Today's show is a love letter. River West Radio, WXRW, is operated by a small group of dedicated volunteers and an even smaller staff. Today's episode is a love letter, kind of, for our programming manager, Martin Hallinger. Hi, Martin. I know you're listening because you have to. this one is for you. Listeners of River West Radio will know that a show airs every morning, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. called Another Morning. It's a really great show, and I highly recommend that you give it a listen. You will have to tune in live because it is never played in reruns. So tune your dial to 104.1 FM at 8 a.m. or go to RiverWestRadio.com and click on the live stream. The show usually finds our programming manager, Martin, and he's joined by a rotating cast of guests, and they talk about what's on their minds that day. You know, a typical show, we'll find the panel discussing daily events, childhood memories, life experiences, Mesopotamian history, yoga, meditation, suicide, pie, the weather, and of course, recent news. I have jokingly referred to the show as a group of friends try to maintain Martin's sanity. Because lately, and by lately I mean for the last 2 years, the show will turn almost inevitably towards the topic of Trump. And almost always when it does, that will find its way eventually to the topic of, drumroll, Russian collusion to influence the American elections of 2016. Okay, that is the topic of today's show. I'm going to call the show Russia. But it's really a love letter to Martin, for whom I have nothing but kind fondness and respect. Martin's the kind of guy who doesn't take it as a personal offense if someone disagrees with him. You know, he's not afraid of arguing, and he has the capacity to argue his positions very eloquently and passionately, and then, you know, shake hands and remain friends afterwards. So today, Mr. Hallinger, I present the Anti's report on global election tampering and the Russian troll scandal. First, I want to mention that I'll be cherry picking some quotes for this show, and some of them will be coming from a recent interview with Noam Chomsky, an interview done by Primo Nutmeg. I don't know what his real name is. Primo Nutmeg is a really funny name, but I guess NTSC is also stupid. So that interview is available in full to view online. So recently, Martin and I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with Mark Ard, who is our awesome contact with the Feast of Crispian, a local nonprofit working with veterans. So while we were all talking casually, the topic of Russian collusion came up, as it very often does when you're just chatting casually with Martin. So Mark voiced his opinion, which in honesty kind of very directly mirrors my own, which is to say that we are of the opinion that the investigation into Russian collusion is a smokescreen on the part of Democrats to further distract the populace from the corrupt reality of the political system and to give themselves the appearance of having some moral upper hand, which they indefatigably do not have. And I know that how that sounds as I'm hearing myself say it, so I want to stress very strongly that the absence of evidence of collusion in no way means that the hands of the current administration are clean. You know, the amount of human rights abuses and exceptionally dangerous policies being enacted by the current regime should be enough to anger and terrify everybody, kind of in equal measure. Unequivocally, the elections of 2016 were a disaster for the human race, and the effects of it may well be felt for generations to come. Okay, so now that that kind of disclaimer is out of the way, let's hear first from Noam Chomsky.
Do you believe that Donald Trump colluded with the Russian government?
I have the slightest idea, and I don't care.
Isn't it important, though? I mean, the corporate media.
If there's going to be collusion, I think we can guess what it is. Maybe he made some deal to have a Trump hotel put up in Moscow. Okay. That's corrupt. But it's the kind of corruption that, unfortunately, is all over the place.
But with a quid pro quo of the Russians helping.
Of what? The quid pro quo is that he's increased military action on the Russian border. He's created a huge military expansion of the military budget aimed at Russia. He's pulled out of the INF treaty, which is a major threat to Russia. What's the quid pro quo?
Again, it goes back to the accusation from the corporate media that Russia was, had social media trolls, that they released the emails, that they possibly were working with WikiLeaks.
Yeah, but now we're back to the former question. There's no evidence of any Russian effect on the presidential election, certainly none on the Senate or House elections, which went exactly the same way, and there's no charge of Russian interference. And then the rest of the story that I just mentioned about actual interference. So it's not a serious charge. I mean, there's lots of things to condemn about Trump, but not that. Serious things, very serious things. Like his commitment to destroy the environment for organizers of human life. That's serious. Not playing games with the Russians.
Okay, to summarize and elaborate on some of what was mentioned. So Trump pulled out of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, which was signed by Gorbachev and Reagan in 1987, and which formally controlled both America's and Russia's arms proliferation. In August of 2017, Trump closed three Russian consulate offices. In 2018, he authorized an increase in military spending to the tune of $750 billion, aimed directly at surpassing the budgets of Russia and China in the same year. Trump permanently stationed troops in Poland and sent troops as participants in joint military exercises with Ukrainian forces. In April of 2018, he authorized missile strikes as well as economic sanctions against Russian ally Syria. In March, he kicked out 60 Russian intelligence officers from the United States. It could be argued that there is no good quid pro quo there between Moscow and Washington. Now, evidence being what it is, and the nature of Trump's policies being exceptionally erratic and bipolar, there is also activity to make a case for Trump and Putin being friends. Potential sanctions against Russia were eventually rescinded, for example, in 2018. I think the larger case can be made that the situation is business as usual. And is not actually out of the ordinary. The amount of corruption is on par with what it typically is. So that would beg the question, why is the media so focused on the possibility of collusion, and why are the Democrats spending so much time trying to discover it?
We're supposed to have the sole prerogative of interfering with other countries' elections. Other countries are not supposed to interfere with ours, okay? Furthermore, for the Democrats, this is a way of getting revenge. Beyond that, the corporate media, though they do report the major crimes, barely, they certainly don't want to focus on them. So the media will run an article now and then about the severe crisis of global warming. But at the same time, the New York Times, say, will run a 1,000-page euphoric article on how opening up new areas in the Midwest and offshore for oil drilling will propel the United States into first place in oil production, displacing Saudi Arabia, and ensure energy independence, whatever that's supposed to mean, with not a single word about the effect on the general environment, actually a qualification. They'll occasionally say in the article I'm thinking about, which is typical. Yes, there will be effects in the Midwest. It may harm ranchers in the Midwest because it'll use too much water. What about destroying the prospects of ordinary human life? Okay, is that brought up? Yesterday, ExxonMobil announced, you can read it in the business press, that they're sharply expanding their investments in fossil fuel extraction. Did you see a big front page headline in the New York Times about that? That's serious. J.P. Morgan Chase, the biggest bank, has announced that it's increasing investments in fossil fuels, including the most dangerous of them, the Canadian tar sands. You see a front page headline about that? These are take the INF Treaty. Pulling out of the INF Treaty, Reagan-Gorbachev Treaty, opens the door to the development and deployment of extremely dangerous missiles. That's why Reagan and Gorbachev enacted the treaty in the first place, to cut back extreme dangers in Russia and Europe, which could have easily exploded into a terminal war. Okay, now that's open. It's reported. But it's much less exciting than maybe the Russians' trolls moderately interfered with the election.
On the point of foreign governments tampering with American elections and politics in general, Professor Chomsky made salient points in an interview recently on Democracy Now! Back in 2018. He said, first of all, if you're interested in foreign interference in our elections, whatever the Russians may have done barely counts or weighs in the balance as compared with what another state does openly, brazenly, and with enormous support. Israeli intervention in U.S. elections vastly overwhelms anything the Russians may have done, even to the point where the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, goes directly to Congress without even informing the president and speaks to Congress with overwhelming applause to undermine the president's policies, which happened with Obama and Netanyahu in 2015. Did Putin come to give an address to the joint sessions of Congress calling on them to reverse U.S. policy without even informing the president? And to answer his question, no. No, he didn't. And really, literally, if any other foreign power were to, you know, literally storm Congress without informing the president and directly address them to undermine current policies, that would be such an outrageous scandal, but it's not a big deal if Israel does it. The point can be well made that many governments have in fact tampered with our holy and sacred electoral process. We'll look at a very brief history. A famous example, of course, happened in 1968. Richard Nixon's campaign was being threatened by Hubert Humphrey, who promised to negotiate an end to the Vietnam War through peace talks with North and South Vietnam. In direct and treasonous violation of the Logan Act, a South Vietnam liaison colluded directly with Nixon's campaign and essentially bargained to give Nixon the win by pulling out of any and all peace talks until after Nixon had won the election, which of course he did. In another famous example of foreign manipulation, the 1980 elections, the year I was born, Ayatollah Khomeini of Iran hated then incumbent President Jimmy Carter for various reasons, most of which were caused, of course, by American imperialism in Iran and the surrounding region. And so when 63 Americans were taken hostage in 1979, it was put to Carter's administration to retrieve them. The Ayatollah conspired with Reagan's campaign to undermine sympathy and support for Carter by ensuring that the hostages would not ever be released until after Carter lost the election. As Professor Chomsky said, Americans are upset to consider that their elections were tampered with. And the fact of the matter is, they are constantly being tampered with every single time there is an election, but not necessarily by a foreign government. Every single election is being very heavily influenced and tampered with by a different, more insidious opponent.
Furthermore, the whole discussion is completely beside the point. There is massive interference in U.S. elections from the U.S. corporate sector, who pretty much buy the elections. There's extensive research. Tom Ferguson's is by far the best. It's very extensive. Shows very convincingly that you can predict the outcome of an American election in Congress and executive with remarkable precision simply by looking at the single variable of campaign funding. And that's just the beginning. Ferguson's analysis goes right through 2016, includes Congress. This goes back a long time. Of course, it's picked up a lot under the opening of the floodgates by the reactionary Supreme Court, but it goes back to the 19th century, is that interference in elections. And that's the bare beginning. Since the 1970s, when the neoliberal assault began, the number of lobbyists in Congress has just skyrocketed. A normal representative in Congress may spend several hours a day just talking to donors to try to get funds for the next election so he has a chance of running. Meanwhile, the lobbyists are meeting with his staff, bringing all of their huge resources, which of course overwhelm the staff, and pretty much writing the legislation. Is that interference with elections? I mean, what's being discussed is not even a joke. The election system is deeply corrupted right at its core in many ways.
We've discussed this in past episodes, but studies show quite conclusively that lobbyists actually write policy, not elected officials. Examples abound of legislation being written word for word by lobbyists that dangerously impact average Americans' daily lives and livelihoods, exclusively to further the interests of corporations and especially gigantic banks. By way of example, the Dodd-Frank protections on American consumers were rolled back severely and directly by bank lobbyists. This is called the privatization of policy, and it is the absolute status quo in American politics. Is that tampering? Yes, on a vast scale. And not only is it ensuring that you do not live in any semblance of a democracy, but it's completely legal. So I don't think it would be fair to talk about electoral tampering without talking about the myriad foreign campaigns America has blatantly, openly, and proudly tampered with. In his exhaustive study titled Partisan Electoral Interventions by the Great Powers, Don Levine examines case after case of electoral tampering on behalf of foreign governments. And I don't think it will shock you to learn who the winner was by far. To quote the study, between 1946 and 2000, there were 117 partisan electoral interventions between 1946 and 2000. That's roughly one of every nine competitive elections held since the Second World War. The majority of these, almost 70%, were cases of direct U.S. interference. 60 different independent countries have been the targets of such interventions. The targets came from a large variety of sizes and populations, ranging from small states such as Iceland and Grenada to major powers such as West Germany, India, and Brazil. Almost two-thirds of interventions were done in secret, with voters having no idea that foreign powers were actively trying to influence the results. In the span of time included, those countries where secret tactics have been deployed by the U.S. include Guatemala, Brazil, El Salvador, Haiti, Panama, Israel, Lebanon, Iran, Greece, Italy, Malta, Slovakia, Romania, Bulgaria, Albania, Sri Lanka, the Philippines, South Vietnam, and Japan. One former secret agent of the United States admitted, "We had bags of money that we delivered to selected politicians to defray their political expenses, their campaign expenses for posters and for pamphlets." The Washington Post reported the CIA's operation also included forging documents to besmirch leaders via fabricated sex scandals and spreading hysteria. Throughout the 1950s and 60s, the U.S. secretly financed the ruling Liberal Democratic Party in Japan, despite denials from party leaders. Former intelligence officials have said that America's aim was to undermine the left and make Japan one of Asia's most strongly anti-communist countries. And then, of course, beyond tampering with elections, there's the proud American tradition of just toppling democratically elected governments, only to replace them with U.S.-friendly dictators. The CIA has come out publicly that it was directly behind the coup d'etat against Iran's secular prime minister, Mohammad Mossadegh, which we have discussed in previous episodes. In 1954, America overthrew democratically elected president of Guatemala, Jacobo Arbenz, because his reforms angered the American multinational United Fruit Company, which had huge land holdings in the country at the time. Declassified CIA documents reveal how it launched a huge $3 million clandestine operation against the Guatemalan government, including attempts to subvert and or defect army and political leaders, broad-scale psychological warfare, and paramilitary actions. So what is the point of all this in this convoluted love letter to Martin Hallinger, our beloved, respected programming manager? Well, Martin, if you're listening, and I know you are because you have to, what is the point that I'm making? In one of the conversations that we had on another morning, you know, I joked that you were going to give yourself a heart attack if you kept railing against this whole Russiagate thing. And you made a great point that if somebody that has a platform, you know, however limited our platform may be in scale, if someone has a platform and they do not utilize it to try and signal boost the truth, especially in our quote unquote post-truth world, then they're not doing everything that they can, and they're doing themselves a disservice and they're doing the world a disservice. And I respect you so much for trying to reach out to our listeners and signal boost the truth. And I think that is a fight worth fighting. The point of this episode, I think, if I were to try and summarize, is simply the fact that tampering is happening, to be true. But to the extent that tampering is happening, it is happening on a far grander and more insidious scale by parties which are not Russian trolls, by parties which are not the Kremlin. Our electoral politics, the political system that we are all struggling under, is fundamentally and irrevocably corrupt in favor of the wealthy elite. And it has been since the very founding of this country. In his Federalist Papers, James Madison said, "Hence it is that democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and in general have been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths. A republic, by which I mean a government in which a scheme of representation takes place, opens a different prospect and promises the cure for which we are seeking." In A People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn, he wrote about the founding of our country. "Those upper classes to rule needed to make concessions to the middle class without damage to their own wealth or power at the expense of slaves, Indians, and poor whites. This brought loyalty, and to bind that loyalty with something more powerful than even material advantage, the ruling group found in the 1760s a wonderfully useful device. That device was the language of liberty and equality, which could unite just enough whites to fight a revolution against England without ending either slavery or inequality." He goes on to say that the characteristic of the new nation, finding itself possessed of enormous wealth, It could create the richest ruling class in history and still have enough for the middle classes to act as a buffer between the rich and the dispossessed. It's notable that four groups were never granted representation at the Constitutional Convention. Those without property, slaves, indentured servants, and women. And thus, the Constitution did not really reflect the interests of the disenfranchised. The Constitution was specifically written for the benefit of the wealthy. Qualifications for voting at state levels required in most cases the owning of property and excluded women, Indians, and slaves, and there were no popular elections to higher office. The Constitution only ensured this greater permanent division of society into a rich ruling class and a poor working class. Upon closer inspection of the Constitution, Robert E. Brown found that the phrase life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, although it appears in the Declaration of Independence, was altered to appear in the Constitution as life, liberty, and property. All that is simply to say that the status quo, the business as usual system of America as it was designed, has never been to the benefit of the working class. It's never been to the benefit of the majority. That is not what the American Republic is about. The American Republic has and always will be, as far as it can defend itself, to be an organization born directly out of the East India Company, designed from its very base to support the wealthy elite and to use the labor of the working class to affect those goals and to keep the working class working, basically to maintain the imbalance of power as much as possible. And I know that it feels really good to find what you think is an enemy, you know, that you can point a finger at and say that person is to blame, that group is to blame. But that's a lot of what gets us into trouble, because all it does is further sow seeds of dissent among people who share an actual struggle in common. This will be a fascinating topic to have more conversations with you about in person, Martin. I hope you find something to chew on in this episode. And I know that you're still really hoping that the Mueller investigation reveals some sort of collusion with Russia. And if it does, I'll eat my hat. You know, I'll go and buy a gummy hat and I'll eat it in front of you. But to echo, you know, Chomsky's earlier point, even if there was, it will probably have been so infinitesimal and pointless as to be meaningless. But of course, if anything is found, the Democrats are going to have a field day with it. There's probably going to be a jubilee and they're going to pat themselves on the back, you know, for the next year. However, that's beside the point. There absolutely is electoral tampering going on. This whole system has been corrupt from the very get-go and needs to be dismantled because it serves no interest but those of the wealthy elite. Anyone listening to the show, if you'd like to talk more with me about this, you know where I am. Reach out to me. I'd like to talk with you about it. But until then, thank you so much for tuning into The Anti here on WXRW River West Radio. I've been your host, NTSC, and I will be back again next week to discuss further topics as they relate to freedom and our awesome shared potential. Past episodes can be found at creamcitymedia.com/anti. More information about the show can be found at riverwestradio.com.